Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Okay, today we've got a devotion on faith and humility. I hope you enjoy it. Here we go. We have a sport in which if you are carrying a ball and for whatever reason you drop it, we say you fumbled it. Well, in a way, that's what happened to Zacharias. He fumbled. Let me explain. Only priests from a particular lineage could serve in the temple. Over the years, the number of priests multiplied, and there were said to be as many as 20,000 priests in the time of Jesus. So they used the lot to determine which priests would serve when. The lot to serve might fall to a priest only once in his life. There were several lots cast to determine who did what at the morning sacrifice. The first lot determined who would cleanse the altar and prepare its fire. The second lot determined who would kill the morning sacrifice and sprinkle the altar, the golden candlestick, and the altar of incense. The third lot determined who would come and offer incense. This was the most privileged duty. Those who received the first and second lots would repeat their duty at the evening sacrifice, but not with the third lot. To offer the incense would be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. This is from Luke chapter 1. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." So here was the father of John the Baptist, standing in the holy place of the temple, in front of the golden altar of incense, facing the Holy of Holies, and suddenly an angel appears, standing next to or in front of the table of showbread, and Zach is freaked. Of course, this is understandable, for this was the archangel Gabriel, who immediately says, "Don't be afraid." And he follows with the encouragement, "Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." You see, both he and his wife, like Abraham and Sarah of old, were old and childless. Elizabeth, based upon her praises later, was evidently living in shame and probably deep discouragement. So the prayer Gabriel referred to was not likely just a recent one. Perhaps a continuous one, over decades of disappointment. But you see, this scene was the opening act, if you would, in the drama of God's final plan of redemption. Of course, the plan itself originated even from before the beginning of our planet, but at this time, it was reaching its apex, and John was its long-foretold precursor. This was not just a big game, or even the big game. It was the biggest game ever. And to top it off, I can easily imagine the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, along with the untold numbers of angelic host, watching intently. Well, Gabriel continued, "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Did his knees knock? Did his teeth chatter? Did his hands shake? Zach managed to speak. How shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. He fumbled in faith. He needed a sign in order to believe that God could or would answer his prayer. I don't know if angels can be shocked, but if so, this would likely have been the time. When we pray for something for so long and see no result, we can stop believing, stop trusting that God hears. Some believe Zach's attitude is, this is just too good to be true. And that's likely the case, but it doesn't make it any less doubtful. We know this because Gabriel tells him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Some people just think they should see some proof of God. They can say, but I didn't feel anything, or, but I don't see any change. They think of God's handiwork as a magician's act. But that attitude denigrates God, and it belittles his plans. You know, he does all things in his time and way. And if he says something, it is guaranteed, absolutely, whether or not it is visible to our eyes. This is the stuff of Abraham's faith. An old man, a long life, an apparently unwilling God, but when he spoke the blessing, Abraham believed, and for that attitude, God considered him righteous. You can see Romans 4:3 for that. But here, God sent Zach on a timeout, so to speak, time to think about his faith in God's abilities. Now, after this, God presented for us, there in Luke, a contrast, someone who had every excuse to fumble, but did not. She was a young maiden, betrothed, but as yet unmarried. It says in Luke, now in the sixth month of, this is of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Well, she was probably quite young in our reckoning, 12 to 15 or so. At least that was typical. Okay, same amazing angel, an even more amazing miracle. He addresses her. Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And as with Zacharias, she is scared. So, Gabriel continues, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, unlike Zacharias, who was found in the very temple itself, in the holy place, Mary is in the nowhere place, the town of Nazareth. Although Nazareth is in the general region of Galilee, it is 15 miles or so away from the Sea of Galilee. It is 6 miles from the closest major road. And Nazareth had no good water supply, only one fairly weak well in the center of the village. Notice as well that with this greeting, the focus is not really on Mary, but rather on Jesus. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Now, Mary's question was logical. She asked the same question Zacharias asked. But his question was asked in skeptical unbelief, and her question was asked in wonder-filled faith. Forget any ideas of the Holy Spirit mating with her. The word overshadow refers to the cloud of the Shekinah glory of God. This was a purely miraculous conception. Then Mary said, "Behold, a maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In this nowhere town, far from the majesty of the temple, this humble girl did not fumble in faith. Some think God is mostly active, or even only active, within the confines of the temple or church. Sure, the Lord is active there, but he loves to do what only he can do, far from the limelight, in the hearts of the humble who he knows won't fumble in faith. It's in those people that the seed of his son is planted. Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.